You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky here with you. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. I am good despite some of this news that's coming out about college football. That's a little sad. I'm still holding out hope that some things won't change. We'll get a chance to see some football outside of NFL football this fall.
I was talking to a buddy in scouting world earlier today, and he brought up the point that was interesting. I didn't even think about this, but his pro days he was assigned to go to were a little bit later, you know, because we only got those first couple pro days before everything shut down. He goes, think about this. The last time I wore an NFL polo to a job event was the NFL scouting combine. And he said the next time, potentially, that I wear a polo to an NFL scouting event, not having been to the team facility, not having been to colleges, might be the NFL scouting combine. Now, that's under the assumption that scouts even like, will go to the NFL scouting combine. Like, it might be longer than a year. Like, yeah, can you imagine that where you're employed? Like, he might go over a calendar year between seeing his general manager, his boss. Is that crazy?
Okay, so given that, do you still get the new stuff? Because, you know, with training camp opening up, that was always kind of like
Christmas. Get all your gear. Like, yeah.
Get all your gear, your hoodies and your polos and all.
Trust me, if somebody from the Chargers is listening, I'm waiting. I have not got my shipment here. When you do the broadcast stuff, they give you.
I'm waiting on my little goodie bag from the Jaguars.
You've got something coming your way, too.
So we'll see.
It's what, you know what's funny about that is people will laugh about this. I don't care about, you know, jackets, polos, all that stuff. The NFL team issued shorts are the most comfortable, best, like hooping, running, going to the grocery store. They're the best shorts ever. Yeah. I've never found shorts that are as comfortable as the team issued shorts you get.
I hate to admit being the cheapskate as a scout, but you remember how you waited for the shoes? Because you go like a year without them, you're like, oh, got some new running shoes.
You usually get like two or three. They usually give you like two or three shoes. Like, nice, so you're good.
Yeah, so we get some shoes, some shorts, a couple polos and stuff like that. But yeah, but I can imagine. It's funny that you brought up the combine, because I've heard people talk about the combine. And I just can't imagine the scouting combine being what it once was. I cannot imagine the visuals, the pictures that we've seen of all the scouts hovered in the stands with the stopwatch. I can't imagine it being that again. I can't. And also, from a cost standpoint, I don't know if ownership and those things are going to be comfortable sending, hey, let's send 12, 15 of our scouts.
Not happening. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I just can't imagine that being – I can't imagine that being the deal anymore. I don't know if we'll just have a virtual combine with just – the top decision makers in the building and everybody kind of watching it from afar. But I can't imagine it would be the combine that we have kind of grown accustomed to seeing the last, decade, two decades, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be different. It's going to lead us to things being different to our conversation that we have today on the podcast. We've got our buddy Joel Klatt that's going to join the show. Really somebody that always has a unique take on everything that's going on in the college football world. And it's unprecedented what we're going through right now and potentially losing a college football season, something none of us could have ever foreseen, but yet here we are. So Joel's somebody that's great to talk to, and we have a lengthy conversation we're going to get to in just a minute with him. But I do want to encourage people. We threw it out there the other day about leaving us some reviews and ratings on Apple Podcasts, and you guys have been great about that. And one of the things we asked you to do is we always talk about who's the best high school player that you've ever seen. Maybe you played against him, maybe you saw him, maybe your brother, played against him at some point in time. But the best high school football player you've ever laid eyes on. We've already started to get some interesting answers on that. I think Ronald Curry was one of them that came up who you know about for sure. So there's been some fun answers on there. So continue to leave those for us. If you haven't done it already, let us know who the best high school player you've ever seen in the Apple Podcast reviews. And we'll have an episode where we kind of lay all those out and see if we get some interesting names. With that in mind, let's just get to the conversation here. This is a great chat we had with our buddy from Fox Sports with Joel Klatt. All right, Buck, excited to have our good buddy Joel Klatt joining the show. And Joel, I guess, first of all, we'll get into all the serious stuff and college football, what it means for the draft and the NFL and all that. But I have a drive. I'm taking my oldest off to college this week. So big moment here in the Jeremiah household. But I've got a drive. I've got like an 18-hour drive going back to the scouting days. And I know I know you like to read. I know you're a big reader in the off season. So I need a book. I need a book on tape recommendation for my drive from you.
Oh man. Well, I'm big into the like business or leadership books and things like that. So here are some of my absolute favorites. Willpower Doesn't Work by Benjamin Hardy. That's an incredible book, right? Some like great principles there. Anything by Tim Ferriss, I think is phenomenal. Good to Great,
love
by
that
Jim
one.
Collins is a great good book. One. Start With Why by Simon Sinek. That's really good one.
You know, what's even better is the book by Simon Sinek. But Simon Sinek, I'm looking forward to meeting him one day.
Is it Sinek? I don't know.
Yeah, Simon Sinek. But no, you're good.
Yeah. You know what? It's all good. And then, let's see. And then my all-time favorite that's more of like a novel, even though it's actually like a lot of real history and it's actually a true story. The Boys in the Boat is an incredible book about the Washington Husky crew team in 1936. That's all I'm going to say because it's actually my favorite book. I read it maybe faster, which isn't saying much, but I read it as fast as any book I've ever read in my life.
Those are some good tips there. And by the way, do I need to bring crayons? Are these coloring books or are these actually books I can read?
Oh, they're actually books that you can read, but coloring books is not a bad idea either. I mean, it might help us with our mental health during all of this.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
No kidding.
Man, look at you guys just providing all kinds of education there, Joel. So, Joel, like just off the top, like right now, and thinking about college football and the landscape and what we're going through, what is your overall just feelings on what is taking place right now? Because it seems like there's so many different things going on with the pandemic, with players finding their voices. Just what are your overall thoughts on the landscape of college football right now?
Well, I mean, it's unprecedented, right? I think that we've never been in a position like this with what the players are striving for, if you will, as well as what we're dealing with from a health standpoint. Players are going to be much safer if they're actually playing football and within the testing protocol structure and procedure of what a season would entail, rather than just out in the normal pace of everyday life. Because here's the thing, football does not pose any more significant risk than, in particular with all the procedures and protocols, than everyday life. This virus doesn't know the boundaries between football and normal life, as we like to call it. So I think that that's a frustration. And I think that the kids are starting to realize that, and you're seeing a lot of them throw their voice around on social media, and some of them very prevalent. The top two picks in next year's draft most likely are the two guys that are kind of leading the charge of saying, hey, we want to play.
Yeah, if there's never been anything like it, Joel. When you talk to coaches, college coaches, what's been their reaction? I don't think people have thought through kind of the fallout if this happens. When you talk to some of those college coaches, what are they saying in regards to, man, if this happens, get ready for X, Y, and Z?
Well, let's just talk about a few of the factors. First and foremost, what you're going to see is a real rise in the deterioration of the mental health of their players. Because as you guys know, to play at that level, you have to be singularly focused on achieving at a high level and being committed to your craft in order to be there. And when that's ripped away from you without you having a say in it whatsoever, that has a real toll negatively on your mental state. All of us whoever were told that, hey, you're not good enough anymore, went through that, right? Like when sports ends for any of us, we go through that. And I can't imagine it being ripped out from under me like a rug from under my feet when I'm preparing for, let's say, my senior year in college or junior year in college. So I think that that's tough. And what comes with that, guys, is actually pretty catastrophic. Substance abuse, opioid abuse, alcohol abuse, potentially a deterioration to the point where suicide becomes prevalent. And I know that that's dark. But remember, the second leading cause of death in this age group is suicide in the country. And so these are factors that we have to at least consider, right? And that's just the human impact and toll, much less when you talk about the institutional financial impact. And in this case, the loss of opportunity that we're going to see in terms of intercollegiate athletic scholarships is staggering. There's 150,000 scholarships available in intercollegiate athletics, and we're going to lose tens of thousands of those scholarship opportunities. So we're talking about boys and girls in every sport all over the country that are right now trying to achieve to the point that they could potentially get one of those scholarships, and they're not going to be available. And in a lot of cases, guys, that was that athlete's only path to a higher education, in particular with the rising cost and just outrageous cost of college. You talked about driving your kid to college. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Like those scholarship opportunities are a lifeline to thousands of boys and girls across the country, and we're going to lose that. That's just a couple of the impacts that we're going to see from a loss of a season. And there are more, you know? So it's not a good time, guys. It's just not.
You know, Joel, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I am worried about the young athletes and what happens if the season is postponed. Does that mean they're ushered off of campus, they go back to their respective homes and neighborhoods? Are coaches allowed to be around them so they can kind of provide the structure that all the young kids, young athletes kind of need? They're so used to their routine. When you've talked to coaches or you've kind of thrown this around, what have they said the next steps are if there is a postponement of the season?
Well, they don't know, right? Because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know because here's the thing. If under the guise of health and safety, you say that, like, well, hey, just like, we can't do it. Like, football is just impossible. Doesn't that mean that lifting is dangerous and tutoring sessions are dangerous, and you know, the training room is dangerous, and eating meal plan and training table is dangerous. See, that this is what I don't understand. If you think that that's all too dangerous, then guess what? The next step is isolation and quarantine. The next safer spot for a college football player, rather than in the testing protocols of twice a week testing and the constant monitoring from athletic training staff and medical professionals, the only way to get safer than that is to be in quarantine, right? Like, all I heard of all summer is, I can't wait to open these campuses because we can care for the athletes better here than they can be cared for at home. So what Bucky, you bring up a great question, and no one's talking about that. Well, okay, so we cancel. What does that mean for the student athlete? Go home? Like, that's an awful, awful thought, because remember, in some cases, and maybe in many cases, they're going to areas that are much harder hit by the community spread of this virus, and they're going to homes that are multi-generational, which that's where you really get into the danger. Because remember, for college-age kids, you know, they're under greater threat from car accidents, homicide, suicide, heart disease than they are from this virus, even lightning strikes. But when you're getting into the older subset of the population, that's where it's really dangerous. And this is the data that is available from the CDC. This is not an opinion. So, you know, I think that you are posing greater threat to the community and sometimes these players' families by just saying, like, hey, we're going to punt on the season. And the reason that they're going to punt on the season, these presidents, is because of liability. And I think that that's, and yet they won't ever say that, Bucky. They're going to say, like, well, out of the abundance of caution, we need to not play college football. That's a lie, right? That's false. It is. Because we don't want to get sued by the ever-growing number of plaintiff lawyers throughout the country, we're going to punt on the season. That's what it should read, but it won't.
What do you say, Joel? Because you'll hear this, and I'm sure you've probably even heard it on Twitter already. What do you say to the people that will mention, Feeney's mom, who was a player at Indiana, yeah, and what she had said about, you know, some of the issues that he's had that have lingered, and the unknown about the long-term health effects? And so that's the argument from the other side, is we don't know the long-term. So, you know, you mentioned liability is a big part of that, but how do you put them in quote unquote harm's way and put yourself in a liability position, not knowing the long-term impact?
Well, I absolutely understand that. But remember, I think that even the Feeneys would have to admit that he's under better care from knowing that he got the disease because he was being tested, and then under immediate care and monitoring of trained professionals and medical professionals, rather than just being out in the population with an asymptomatic case, potentially not knowing that he has it and suffering from some of these same effects. Right. So like the mm-hmm. cardiac aspect of this is real. And to some extent, guys, we don't really know what the case is, right? We've heard a lot about anecdotal evidence, and there's some anecdotal evidence that the long-term health impacts could be serious. But football doesn't exacerbate those long-term effects, right? Like, these are going to show up because of the virus, not because of football. So let's not get into a conversation where we're saying football is more dangerous because of long-term health effects. The virus may have long-term health effects, and we could potentially be putting players into a situation where they're more likely to contract the virus and not know it. That's more dangerous, right? Like, so, gosh, it seems very clear to me, but again, I'm not in the room. I mean, listen, these are all concerns, and these are all things that I think need to be debated and talked about and discussed.
Well, that leads me to the next question then, real quick, Joel, because this is one of the things that I don't understand, is if we are talking about a September 26th start date, and we are, as we're having this conversation, it's August 10th, why are we in a hurry to make that decision at this point in time?
I think it's because I made this analogy earlier, and it might be a bad one, but my wife was in business-to-business sales when we were first married. She sold copiers, and that's not easy, right? You just have to walk in and be like, hey, do you want to spend $10,000 on a copier? Everyone's like, no, of course we don't want to spend $10,000 on a copier. But what she had to do and what she always talked about is like, I have to get to the decision maker right away. You know, like you get through the minutia of the people that want to have an opinion, but their opinion doesn't actually matter. And you need to get to the decision maker. A lot of people have asked me what has changed in the last week or why are these decisions being made now? Relevant questions, yes, but I think it's because the actual decision makers are actually getting into the room finally. And that's the presidents of these universities. And what are the presidents more concerned with than anything? That is the monetary coffers of their institution, right? Like that's what they're there for, raising money, creating grants, creating larger endowments, so on and so forth. And when they get into the room, guess what they see? Liability issues. And so I think that's why you're seeing this bubble to the forefront is because those people are now getting into the room with their concerns. And so it's no longer become, hey, how can we do this? What's the safest practices? So on and so forth. It is the decision makers getting in the room. They are singularly focused on liability concerns. And therefore, you know, they're talking about shutting it down. And you're right. I don't understand why you would do it now and not at least try to lay out a plan that could potentially work. How about this for a plan? How about say, hey, every student athlete is going to be online classes only so that they don't have to mingle with the normal student population. That's why you can create somewhat of a social bubble. You set out games every 2 weeks rather than every week so that you can maintain requested and or suggested protocol of isolation and quarantine with a positive test, which are inevitable, by the way. Positive tests are inevitable. And so you have a greater chance to play those games because you have a longer time in between contests to isolate and quarantine those positive tests. So why don't we play the season over 18 and 19 weeks, 10 games, 9 games, 8 games over, you know, 16, 17, 18 weeks, while these kids take online classes and actually try to pull this off, testing them twice a week, monitoring them, keeping them in the structure of their academic life, keeping them in the structure of their football life, rather than just punting now. So I think that there are options. Hopefully this push from some of the most prominent players in the country will at least stall these decisions for the moment, and we can move forward with at least a chance that we could these kids play football.
You know, Joe, we understand the revenue driver that football is, not only just from an athletic standpoint, but also from an academic standpoint. We've seen how it coincides. When you have a great football team, your academic, in terms of people applying for admission to the school, it goes up. We've seen it at Alabama and Clemson and the like. If we don't have a football season, how's college football going to bounce back from a missed season? Because, I mean, the consequences are severe and devastating.
Yeah, they're absolutely devastating. We're talking about intercollegiate athletic departments having to cut themselves down by 75%. And that's where those loss of opportunities and scholarship, you're going to see non-revenue sports just slashed. And more specifically, boys non-revenue sports, men's non-revenue sports, because in order to try and at least maintain football in the future, you're going to have to at least maintain the Title IX standing and those 85 scholarships. I think what you'll see is a reduction of number of scholarships within major college football from 85 to maybe 65 or 60. Which what does that do? It removes opportunity. We're talking about thousands of kids around the country that now will not have the opportunity to go take part in higher education because they don't have a scholarship opportunity. That's how many of us. I would have never been able to afford going to the University of Colorado if it weren't for the scholarship option in my baseball contract and then ultimately a scholarship after I walked on, right? Like my dad was a teacher. You know, like I wasn't paying for an education. What? So it's going to be catastrophic. And like I said, I think what you'll see is just an overwhelming loss of scholarship opportunity. You're going to see a lot of people lose their jobs. And unfortunately, you're also going to see, and this is something that you guys will be able to talk about at length, you're going to see guys without an opportunity to increase their value of their football future. Right. Last year, we saw a guy go from maybe a middle round draft pick at quarterback, maybe late round draft pick at quarterback, to the overwhelming number one pick in the draft.
Last 3 years. Last three number ones all experienced a magic carpet ride to the number one pick with Burrow, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield.
That's exactly right. I didn't even think of the previous two, Bucky, but you're dead on that. We're removing that. How about the kid that is an undraftable player right now that gets himself into the fifth round with a monster season, right? It's not just the number one pick. We're removing that. So again, like the unintended consequences of just pulling the plug on this thing are long reaching. And I think people need to start at least acknowledging some of those effects before they start just saying like, hey, we can't do this.
I want to go to a worst case scenario, Joel, and see how we can try and put some type of silver lining on what could be, as we've documented here, just an awful, awful setup here. If we looked at the spring, and I was talking with Bucky about this earlier today, and I don't know where you are. I want to find out where you are on this, but I don't think we have a chance of having a full spring, you know, 12, 13 game schedule, and then coming back right. And having a full fall 12, 13 game schedule.
So right.
My idea that I brought up with Bucky is if we're going to try and give kids an opportunity to play. Now, keep in mind, the draftable guys, they're gone. They're not playing.
They're out.
They're done. So the Trevor Lawrences, the Fields, all those guys are out. But what you would be left with is my thing I was saying was, okay, let's not aim for the full season. Let's try and have the most absolute bang for our buck and say we're going to have four games. It's basically taking the soccer format of where they do the friendlies, you know. So you've got your you know, it's basically more than spring practice. It's less than a season. It's in the middle. It's like a four game schedule. But if we said, okay, conference championships, national championships, all that's going to be pushed off to 21, that ship sailed. But what we could do is we could have the four most incredible games you could put on your schedule, where we can have Notre Dame versus Alabama. We can have USC play Ohio State. We can take it and just say we're going to have the sexiest matchups we can. It's like a firework grand finale type situation where we're just going to have the most unbelievable month, or you could spread it out over 6 weeks, 7 weeks if you wanted to put some time in between the games. But just say we're going to have the best competitions between all these different schools.
I think that's interesting. And let me start with the original premise. We can't have a full season in the spring and turn around and play a full season in the fall.
No.
This is why everyone's like, hey, for the safety and well-being of the athlete, we're going to try to play in the spring. I'm like, that's way more dangerous for this age group than actually playing in a pandemic.
26 games in 6 months. You don't think that's,
you can't do that.
That's a good idea?
I mean, you can't do that, right? I was a quarterback and I had a red jersey on at practice. There's no way I could have done that. You know, I mean, my ribs would have all just been broken. But anyways, I digress. So yes, it would have to be some sort of reduction. Now, I think that maintaining a full season in 21 would be imperative for the financial model of intercollegiate athletics. Therefore, I would be trying to do as many as possible, but not trying to push the envelope in the spring season. And yes, if you were trying to create some sort of like, hey, we and here's the dirty secret in the room, what you'd be trying to do is create as much revenue as possible.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
All right. So let me just lead with one of the games that we've got to have. We've got to have Ole Miss playing Tennessee, because I just need Lane Kiffin playing Tennessee, right? Like that's a no brainer, I think, for all of us. But
Think about the creativity though, Joel, because
sure.
you could there's no rules, right? So you could say, if we're trying to maximize revenue, if let's say California is more locked down, well, then instead of having Alabama come to play at USC, we'd say, okay, obviously we're playing this one at your place and we're going to split the revenue from the gate. We'll split it between the two schools. You could just find wherever you could play and play those games there, maximize the revenue pie, and try and recoup some of that lost money.
I think that's a really interesting model. I mean, I would certainly be there for it. Heck, right now I'll climb up some scaffolding with Gus and call it junior high school football.
Hey, did you see, by the way? Bucky, I don't know if you saw this, but the last thing I saw, somebody called me this morning and said, did you see the Sun Belt? Everybody else has said that, you know, looking like they're going to shut down. But I heard like the Sun Belt, and it might have been the AAC, had said they have not got there yet. I'm like, oh my gosh, App State's going to be on every Saturday night at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I got
Joel and Gus calling App State, Arkansas State. Let's go.
And you know what? I will be there with bells and whistles on, man. I tell you what, we'll be breaking out all the old DJ footage. There's no doubt about it.
You can find both good plays. You can play both of them. You have plenty of time.
That's funny. I will tell you, it's an interesting model.
I would like to add to it, DJ.
Yeah,
I think if you think about that, like if you say an abbreviated season, you say four games. How about we kick it up to six games? And kick it up to six games, but finish it as we've always seen in the lower levels with a playoff format. Like just quarters, semis, and finals, that would give you three additional weeks. So if you kick it up to six games plus those three rounds of playoffs, that would give you 9 weeks. And if you put some bye weeks in there, I still think you can do it. And from maximizing dollars, you know that the appetite for football is going to be so grand that this might be the one time that you could step outside of the normal college football playoff and try and maximize that part of it. Because if you take the top eight teams, even if you just do the top eight brand name teams and put those guys in there, you will get maximum dollars, not only from viewership and TV, but if you put them in neutral locations and allow them to do it, that also will feed, it will also kind of whet the appetite of the bowl games that have been lost, particularly the major ones.
I will bring up one point that I think from a television perspective would be important in all this. Part of the reason why football is so valuable is, yes, the ratings. We all know that it absolutely dominates in the ratings. There's no doubt about that. But also the time of year that it falls, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Americans spend the bulk of their money in the last 3 and 4 months, the last quarter of the year, because of Christmas and holidays and everything going on with that. So that's part of the reason why the ad space is so valuable during that time of year. So in the spring, even with great matchups, they're not going to be worth nearly what they would be worth if you were playing them in the fall.
Can I give you one other made for TV event that we can just add to have some fun with it? Would be if we're doing, say, let's split the difference. Let's say we go five games. Bucky was saying six. I was saying, four. So let's go down and say five games. So the schools negotiate with one another and negotiate their five game schedules. Then we have on TV, and we can put it on ESPN, Fox, we can put it on CBS all at once. We have a draft for these games. And then you could have your Fox table, you have your ESPN table, you have your CBS table, and it's say, okay, let's go. All right. And then, you talk it over with Shanks and all your people, and you go, okay, we got the first pick. What do we want, boys?
What game do we want?
Yeah, what do we want? We got Ohio State. Who do we want? Ohio State.
Oh, we want Ohio State, Michigan, because we want to see.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, first pick. There's no doubt.
If he can hang 100.
Oh, 100%. And there you go. I would selfishly watch that. I promise you I would.
I would be really into that. I got to tell you, I think that that's an unbelievable idea. Okay, so I would be into that. Can you imagine? And by the way, every single network, here's the TV tip. Every network with the first pick would take Ohio State, Michigan.
Best. It's the best. We're workshopping this, Joel. So I think if we say, if it's four or five, whatever number we come up with, the natural rivalry game is one of your four. So that one, we're going to get Clemson, South Carolina. We're going to get Ohio State, Auburn. Michigan, Alabama, Auburn. We get that game. But then outside of that game, I'm okay with kind of let's get some intriguing matchups around the country.
You bet. And by the way, don't you just love, like, even in the middle of, like, are we going to play or not on a coach's conference call, Ryan Day's like, hey, we're about your own team.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What's going on with these practices at Ohio State? Hey, worry about your own team, pal. I hope he dropped a pal or a guy. You know, like those are favorite.
Hey, bud. Really
condescending. Hey, guy, worry about your own team.
Hey, bud, you beat us for the first time, and you can talk about what we do in our practice field.
So unbelievable. So unbelievable.
That's so good. All right. Well, hey, you've been very generous with your time here, Joel. Last question for you. And we've touched a little bit on it. But if we just look at this, and you do a lot of work with us on the draft as well. So if we look at this from a draft standpoint, the challenges, in your opinion, of drafting players you have not seen on the grass in over a calendar year.
I don't envy that. I mean, we talked about the difficulty of not being able to just visit with them in person this last year, right? And how that was going to affect the draft, and what they were going to rely on a little bit more. I I think it would be the ultimate crapshoot, to be honest with you. And we could probably make the draft right now, just based on, I mean, we know the first two picks, right? No one's going to supplant Fields or Trevor Lawrence. And quite frankly, you're probably not going to supplant Trevor Lawrence just because he's got a bigger body of work. Maybe Trey Lance gets in there into the top five quarterback at North Dakota State. But man, I can't, I mean, I can't even imagine.
The person that you'd want to talk to about the NFL draft upcoming is Kalani Sitake at BYU, because they sign these kids out of high school. They go off on a Mormon mission for 2 years, and you cross your fingers and toes when that dude shows up on campus that it looks somewhat like the same guy that you recruited 2 years ago. That's kind of what the NFL draft's going to be like.
That's
like
right.
Tanner McKee going to Stanford.
Yes.
He's been away on a mission for 2 years. He comes back, and you're hoping that he is what you thought he was going to be when you saw him last in high school.
Man, I can't imagine. Yeah, I mean, shoot, man, we're in unprecedented territory. There's no doubt. But it's you know, the NFL and all, you know who's most happy right now is the NFL. Because
they're
going to
be on every day of the week.
They're going to own it.
They're going to take over all those national windows on Saturdays if it doesn't happen. And so, the expansion of the NFL, they're just licking their chops right now.
Joel, you're going to turn on TV. You're only going to see three things. You're going to see Seinfeld reruns. You're going to see one of the Bourne movies, or you're going to see the NFL. That's it. That's the only three things you're going to see on TV. No.
You're missing it, because I swear every night Shawshank Redemption is on TBS.
Hitch is another one. Hitch is under it. Hitch is on a lot.
Hitch is on
all the time.
Yes, and FX will be showing Hotel Transylvania 3 again.
Oh, that's so good. Hey, dude, look, it's a sucky time right now all the way around, and especially for us that love college football. We'll see what happens here. I know things are still up in the air, but one thing doesn't change is that you're extremely good at what you do, and we love having you on the show, man. So we appreciate
that. Yeah, you guys are the best. This is always fun to come on and chop it up and chat, and hopefully cooler heads prevail. Cause remember, guys, and I just want to reiterate this. If anyone, the kids are going to be safer if they're playing football than if they're not. And this is the dirty secret in the room. And so I'm praying that we can find a way forward for college football to exist.
All right. Well, I got to go order the boys in the boat for my drive here. So appreciate
it's
you, buddy.
A good one. It's a good one.
All right, man. Thanks, Joel. Well, Buck, I felt like we had every emotion during that interview, right? We got some sadness. You've got some laughter. We kind of had it all mixed in there with our buddy Joel.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Obviously, no one expected the pandemic to have this kind of impact on college football, but the impact is devastating, not only for all of the participants, the players, the coaches, the administrators, the fallout in dealing with the fans, but even the economic structures around college campuses without college football being there. Like college football, the fans, the people, that was the driving force of so many of the things around town, the restaurants, the student stores, being able to like frequent those establishments. Without college football taking place this fall, I mean, there are a lot of people that are going to be suffering from that. And I feel bad for everybody. We have seen the economic fallout from the virus and the pandemic just on a normal sense. But now, man, it really, really hits home when you think about all the mom and pops that exist in all these college football towns around the country.
Yeah. And one of the things we did not get to with Joel, but I was texting with one of our mutual friends, and this is something we've talked about on the podcast before, about if there is a void of college football, you know, how do you fill it? And the idea of taking a lot of the top players, skill position players, and forming kind of an elite 7-on-7 circuit, you know, where it's going to be, I don't know how many teams that could be. Maybe it's 5 teams, maybe it's 10 teams, but giving all these kids, these skill position players, an opportunity to compete and to at least be throwing and catching and covering, you know. And I think we are going to see that if there is no college season, the wheels are already in motion on this, that I think we are going to see kind of an elite 7-on-7 setup that's going to take place somewhere. So be on the lookout for that.
Man. Nice. I mean, already on it. It will be interesting to see how that goes. And it'd be look, everyone is going to try and figure out how to do this thing, because we've seen the opt-outs. We saw the opt-outs early from some of the top prospects. Like, what do we do for the next 6-7 months in terms of getting ready? Like, that is a unique deal. From agents and those things, like, do those players leave campus and go to those training facilities? Because now if you're an agent, that outlay of cash is a little different than the normal model that you have. Like, this is a unique set of circumstances for everyone. And I would say that the people who started doing the planning a month or so ago, started trying to think about how this could shake out, they're going to have it. They're going to have an advantage over the others. But I can't even imagine how to approach this as a player, as a prospect, as an evaluator. It's just so different. And I think some of the things that we've seen the NFL do in the midst of the pandemic, the expansion of the practice squad rosters and some of those things, I think we will have to continue to see those things going forward, because the players that are coming into the league, they will be ill-equipped to deal with the game. We will have to kind of have a developmental system in place to help those young guys get up to speed after not playing football for a year or longer due to the pandemic.
Yeah, I think we're going to look back and we're going to end up saying that Dwayne The Rock Johnson made an incredible investment. You talk about timing being everything. For him to buy the XFL kind of on the cheap, coming off of a once-a-century issue, I think it was $15 million he paid for the league book. There's going to be more talent, untapped talent, that he's going to have available to him. You're going to see this is not going to be a situation where it's like, oh, maybe the NFL scraped some of these players off. I think what you'll end up seeing is you're going to end up seeing some guys come out of that league that are going to be considered, you know, second round, maybe even a couple first round type players that emerge in that format that weren't given the opportunity to, you know, have that train take off their junior or senior year in college.
Now, here's the thing that I would suggest to the XFL if they're going to do this, and just looking at the 8 teams that they had, instead of trying to bounce around and play in a bunch of different cities, I would say find 2 central locations and kind of bubble up right there. Not only because of the health and safety benefits of being able to do that, but I think from a cost standpoint.
Well, it's a TV product. Just make it a TV product.
Yeah, don't worry about filling the sands or whatever. But I think if you can do it where you can put 4 teams in one spot, 4 teams in another spot, and they kind of do their round robin stuff, I think that would be the best way to do it. And if you think about really using this league as a developmental league with the eye towards being the minor league system for the National Football League, there are some positive things. We've seen the Spring League. We've seen some of these other leagues that have kind of popped up and have attempted to be that. But I think if the XFL goes all in on being the domestic version of NFL Europe, I think that would give them a chance of having success. But they have to do it in a fiscally responsible way. And I think the best way to do it is to kind of pick one spot, one location, one stadium, and just go all in on that. And don't worry about the fans. Really make it a TV product and make sure that the product on the field is a good product.
You know, Buck, one thing I would think about, too, from an economic standpoint is you could, because of the pandemic and the fact that you haven't had many people traveling or staying in hotels, you could probably reserve hotel rooms, you know, for the season in one location. Or, I mean, you might even be able to outright buy some hotels that are struggling financially for pennies on the dollar, to be able to centrally locate all these teams in the XFL and be able to house them in, you know, whatever, 4 different, you know, hotel locations. I would think that would be something that, again, timing is everything, and you'd be able to get that on the cheap at this point in time.
Well, DJ, let's not reinvent the wheel. Why not just play the league in Orlando, Florida, where Disney is? The NBA would have ushered out. That bubble would have been done. They've gone through all the protocols to make sure that they can do all the stuff there. You've been to Disneyland, like, they have anything and everything.
But I would think that might be more expensive than if they were to.
For sure, yeah. But you're talking about something that's very similar to the NBA bubble.
That's the format. Yeah, that's the format.
Like, just follow that format, find a place that allows you to be able to get it done and do it that way. I just think it just makes so much sense. And when you're talking about the spring and you're talking about weather and you talk about all those considerations, Florida appears to be the right location just because of, like, look, you can get sunshine, you can get nice weather, you're not gonna have to deal with a lot.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, man. It was a fun conversation there with our buddy Joel Klatt. So I want to thank him for joining us once again. Inspired by ongoing conversations with players, NFL launched NFL Votes to empower and improve our communities through exercising the right to vote. Join the NFL family by registering to vote today and make your voice heard this November. Visit NFL.com/votes. to learn more. Also want to remind everybody, another note here, we've got the Hard Knocks podcast hosted by our other friend, Peter Schrager, this week. Hard Knocks TV show debuts tomorrow, August 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO. So be on the lookout for Schrags as he hosts that kind of reaction podcast there on Hard Knocks. Again, we talked a little bit earlier about encouraging you guys to leave us some ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. We do appreciate that. Drop us some questions. We'll answer those on a later podcast. Buck, anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
Nah, man. You know, just looking forward to, like, as my eye is really stuck on the NFL, by the end of the week, we're going to have real training camp. So yeah. I'm just curious to get a peek at what it looks like. You know, like, people have speculated it's been odd because we've just seen the strength and conditioning part of it. But now when we get to the training camp portion, how different does this year's version of training camp look compared to other years? We've heard about the ramp up in physicality and tackling and all of those things. Well, let's get our eyes on it, because we haven't had those cameras. We haven't had our NFL Network cameras in the building. So I'm hoping the next week we get a chance to see what's going on.
Yeah, looking forward to some real football, no doubt. We do have another Move the Sticks episode coming up later this week. Bucky's going to hold the fort down for me as I head off, take my daughter to college. So, Buck, you know who you have coming on with you yet?
I think we're going to talk to Lance, but we don't have it confirmed yet. So we'll see, but it's going to be a great one. We're going to try and make it happen while you're on the road. Just be careful on the road. I know you don't have your scouting stamina. So a couple things that I'm going to suggest just to help you kind of get through. So one thing that always sustained me outside of getting a good night's sleep, DJ, I think you're going to have to be prepared to put on 5 to 10 pounds, because the one thing that always keeps you awake, you got to have plenty of snacks in the car.
Yeah. Sunflower seeds used to be my go-to.
Yeah, you're going to have sunflower seeds. You're going to have like all kinds of stuff, beef jerky and all that other stuff to kind of get you through. The one thing that can keep you awake, a lot of eating. A lot of eating. You got a timeout. You got to time out your eating breaks and all those other things, because it's different. Now, I didn't do a real road trip. I did a mini road trip when I took my son from L.A. to the Bay Area to see some of these colleges up there. And so even then, man, I can't remember the last time that I'd done like a 5 or 6 hour drive, but yeah, I had to map it out. It's different.
I'm just worried about being able to get access to restrooms during a pandemic, because a lot of these places don't allow you to use the restroom. So that's my only concern.
You can go.
My go-to has always been the hotel lobby bathroom. I've stated that many times, the cleanest bathroom you'll ever find on the road.
I got stymied there because that's also my go-to. And I went there, and the bathrooms were closed due to the pandemic. Yeah. I was
like, that's what I'm worried about.
because I cruise right through, right past the lobby, like, oh, and I was even going to do your trick. I was going to see if the cookies were out, like, go in.
You go to the bathroom, grab a cookie, and go.
No. It was close.
Oh man, this is you want to have too much information conversation here before we wrap this up. All right, Buck.
Well, I already know. I already know.
Oh man, it's so bad.
We've already talked about that. Yes, because you're insured of getting a clean bathroom. So I'm with you on that. Like, yeah, I don't stop anywhere.
No, I don't know if I told you this one about being in the Dakotas in a driving rainstorm. I mean, just pummeling you with rain. And I've got to go to the bathroom, and there is nowhere to be. It is nothing but space. You know, in a normal world, people don't want to hear it, but you can pull off to the side of the road. You're a guy. You do what you got to do. You get in the car and go. It's a driving rainstorm. I don't really want to go that route. Remember Sobe Waters? I don't even know if they make those anymore. Sobe.
Yes.
I got an empty Sobe bottle here.
You had to fill it up.
Bad decision, man. It was a bad decision. Let's just say it was not it did not end well. That was all I'm going to say. It did not end well. It was a one-time experience, and then I realized, you know what? Getting a little wet in the rain, probably not a bad trade-off.
Not a bad idea.
Anyways, that's a happy thought to leave everybody with. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.